Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's official. South Africa has a new cabinet in place. One that we've been waiting for quite some time with bated breath, especially given that in this new structure of a government of national unity, there have been a few changes and even an augmentation of the cabinet from what we've seen. Tonight, though, we choose to focus on key strategic positions, primarily within the finance cluster, but also areas and industries of interest that two independently do play a critical role in the growth and success of South Africa's economy when you consider transport, education, as well as tourism and agriculture. But to tell us more about this, we join on the line by Sfiso Skenjana, economist and the managing director of ESG Analytics. Mr. Skenjana, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Mpupi.
I guess
I'm a bit disappointed that your name did not emerge in the deputy ministries or ministry roles that were coming up. At some point, I was looking for finance, communication, something along those lines. So I'm a bit sad, but I think I'll get over it. But good evening to you and your listeners. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Kenji. Hopefully I'll get there one day, right? I think...
It's the people who are worthy and the people who are qualified, and it's your time. You should be there. And you see, when you are there, I promise you I would even be your personal assistant.
More like advisor, given the wealth of knowledge you have there, Sfiso. But on that note, you mentioned something so thrilling, right? We also look for people who, when appointed to these leadership positions, have the capability, the capacity, the experience, the knowledge and the know-how. I guess just your first reaction to the finance cluster, primarily being finance, small business development, trade, industry and competition. Your thoughts on the leadership that's been appointed so far?
I think the number of things there. There's a question that did come through today as I was just also trying to make sense about, I guess, the recent developments. And someone asked and say, do administrators need to have technical capacity in the roles in which they apply or in the roles in which they deploy it, right? And we're having a bit of a banter that Skinning finds himself in a space where he's a political deployee, when the DA, of course, holds adverse positions around that. But it was quite interesting, only mostly around the context around which position or which portfolios require technical capability insofar as deployment is concerned. And one, I think there was a rumor that Dr. Masbondo, who's the current deputy finance minister, would be potentially the successor for Patel in Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. And I was quite excited about that because he's a technocrat. He understands the role in which incentives design, in the role of that entire portfolio insofar as it plays as economic enablement is concerned. And so when it emerged again that he's going to stay in the Department of Finance and in Treasury, and the deputy minister there is Wuzuko Kwadlimbi, I mean, of course, it's great to see young people there, but it's such a complex portfolio. And I really feel like there was a missed opportunity for me. That's the one portfolio that I really could feel like we really, from a President Matamela point of view, missed an opportunity to really think about what role could that portfolio play in economic enablement for the South African context. And I think his appointment, I think, a little bit misplaced, with all the respect, of course, with the people who are incumbents in that particular portfolio.
I'm glad you mentioned this, because what we do forget is that this is a very technical skill, lots of ability that is required. Even the people who actually spend their time working for these structures of government typically are there for over a decade, two decades, just to earn the level of technical experience that is required. I'm keen to get your thoughts. The leadership is one thing, but of course it's the policies that these clusters will have to roll out in order to achieve the desired goal of heightened economic growth, heightened investment. and of course eradication of poverty in South Africa. How do you see this unfolding? Does there seem to be a resistance or concern around the united front of particular policies, given that we are now sitting in a government of national unity?
You know, Kubu, I think a couple of years back, there's a paper I wrote, I think it was in the Sunday Times, and I was talking about policies moving in two different directions. And I specifically focused on IPAP, which is an industrial policy paper,
yes,
as well as the National Development Plan. And National Development Plan says labor first, but when you follow what's been happening from an IPAP, when we have an industrial policy, it's capital first. And so take IDC, which is supposed to, of course, be an enabling funding mechanism for whatever policy direction we're going through. A lot of the money that's gone has actually gone into capital-intensive investment, not labor-intensive investment. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, I think, talks to already what we saw as a struggle have a metric or less. The direction of our investment has got to move towards primary as well as only the entry level of the secondary sector. And so the, for me, what I'm waiting for when we're hearing the state of the state of affairs is almost a bit of a tweak in the understanding of our complex culture, and saying that we understand our complexity, understand where we need to direct our time, resources, and anything, mm-hmm, to make sure that the South African unemployment issue can start to be unwinded. And I think, for me, that kind of right now, one of the things I'm really looking forward to, given now that you've got different voices in the room,
yes,
are they able to test and show that there's a desire and an entire need for a structural nation that informs the direction of investment towards primary and early level secondary investment?
Definitely. And I think that's going to be the challenge, because this is really uncharted territory. So it might even delay the progress of some policies here. That's what I'm understanding, Sphi. So whether it's Indlulamithi, the growth program that we've had in South Africa as well, the NDP and many others that we've seen on board, it almost seems as though there'll be ongoing levels of contention, especially with key themes like transformation, which have been key drivers for growth in South Africa. That's still need to be allotted, and even industry-focused themes. If we think about agriculture, transport, tourism, all sectors which we know have yet to fully expand the multiplier effect that you so often refer to in terms of the economic investment that's required here.
I think what you're touching on is even worse, right? Because I did a little bit of analysis, and there's an article that The Economist published looking from 1901 to 2009, 13 presidents in the American economy, mm-hmm, and only three out of 13 of those presidents had a better performance in the second administration. Mm-hmm. And so inherently, we're going to find ourselves in a space where I think President Ramaphosa was going to have a tough administration in his second term to begin with, just by virtue of the literary space we've observed and the outcomes that have come through that. The second thing to the point that you're making is, and then if then second terms don't seem to give us positive outcomes, and then we find ourselves in new and uncharted territory, what lives for us? Additional literature that I was studying, Google was studying, and then I looked at a number of things around poverty eradication. I looked at employment outcomes and two kind of core areas of focus. Australia, was one of the areas in which kind of the good literature from, as well as England from a coalition point of view. Mm-hmm. Both economies had disinvestment in active labor market programs, they're often called ALMPs. Both programs had negative outcomes from a youth point of view, including all the social metrics from drug consumption, youth pregnancy, employment outcomes, and all of these things. And so I'm saying that if we got enough literature to show us that what we're stepping into is going to be challenging in terms of really transforming the key developmental variables that have actually been regressing in South Africa. There's got to be something that's radically different in the articulation and understanding of how do we as South Africans translate it. And for me, that's the thing that's been missing. There's no clear voice around the youth agenda, no clear voice around what do we do with TVET colleges in South Africa as part of economic enablement. What do we do? I was quite excited to see Minister Stella Ndabeni staying in Department of Small Business, but it's one of the most underfunded departments in the country. So if we really want to talk about the fact that small and medium enterprises, from a GDP point of view, contribute 30%, but from a gross value added, only contribute 12%. That's the thing we really got to double click on and really sort of think and say, if we are in this context, we're trying to create some economic reconstruction. Where are the levers? Small businesses there, Coco. I just don't think that enough of us have sued in the space in a way in which enough of a way then the kind of value we can unlock there. And I think those are the things for me I'm really pressing for and hoping that as we get into this new administration, there's larger budget appropriation, even from a funding point of view for small businesses, because they are the people that do employ our people when kind of large corporates don't have capacity for them. Or, you know, they don't speak the right kind of level of English and all of that stuff, but they can come into the mechanic shop, they can come into the salon, et cetera, and all those spaces where they can also express themselves economically. And I think those are the things we must be asking right now.
Definitely. Lots of questions to ask. And I do think this actually calls for a heightened level of engagement with civil society, with business, with other stakeholders within the industry. And I guess whenever we do speak about government creating an enabling environment, it's often met with a lot of criticism here, Sfiso. But I can imagine that given your observations and additional studies, there's also work that other stakeholders need to continue to put in, right? Whether it's business not sitting on capital, civil society being a lot more proactive, and of course, labor coming forth to the party and actually being a lot more productive within the roles and responsibilities that they've been given. Your thoughts on that one for a moment, just to see how else additional stakeholders can play a role.
Yeah, and I mean, you've been touching all the sore points, right? I mean, we've heard in South Africa where we've said that 1 billion of dormant capital sitting in corporate South Africa. And I think there's a level of corporate and financial management reform that happens in national treasury. If you want to be a corporate in South Africa, when you sit on capital balances beyond a particular threshold, that's got to be taxed. Because you benefit from low taxation, corporate income tax taxation components, etc., and all of the other things. I mean, I just very quickly, Google, when you look at for every 1 rand of taxation collected, 15.9% comes only from corporate income tax. Yet we are talking about enterprises that claim to be, you know, the rainmakers of our economy. And so when they are sitting on large cash balances, there's got to be some punitive measure that is either you are here or you're not here. If you are here, you deploy that into economic activity or go list in London and see what happens when you're listed there, because the requirements there are actually just as much. And so I think we've been incredibly friendly to the companies in South Africa, and so far as we've got lazy corporate balances and they get to benefit from one, like I said, then a reduced cash exposure component by virtue of not deploying that capital. But at the same time, disruption happening in our economy, they say, oh, we're moving our money offshore. 66% of the capital flows that come into South Africa, Google, don't stay in the economy for longer than 18 months. And so we've got to understand that the drivers of of volatility of our currency are also because of capital flows. And these are the things that we really need to start thinking about in terms of, as then legislators, when we are trying to build an economy, we're trying to structurally design an economy. Anyone who wants to be here, then must be here. Anyone who doesn't want to be here, then they must go. And these are the lessons that, you know, the likes of the Chinese have done with Google, with Netflix. India, in fact, Disney Plus is now the largest player in India, more than Netflix. Because of Disney Plus's ability to invest in local content in India, and respecting and understanding the developmental process of what India espouses. And I think this is what I think when we're thinking about the 7th administration, we're thinking about multinational companies, we're thinking about FDI and all the capital. That capital's got to come in the spirit of the growth of the South African economy. And if they don't want to do that, we've got enough space to create value even if they're not here. And then they must go. And then the people who want to be here will realize the value. And the truth is, the reason they're here is because they know there's value here, Google. Mm-hmm. And that's why they are here. And so for me, inherently, is that we must all be friends and we must play nice in the context of our friendship.
I get you. No more kumbaya. Actually being a lot more direct about what the objectives and outcomes are in terms of this partnership. Sfiso, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. I can't wait to have ongoing debates with you around this going forward. And of course, seeing how things do transpire in the months to come. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you. No, Kuku, I'm busy penning an op-ed now. It should be out in the next couple of days. I think reflecting on the context of the GNU and how what complexity we ought to be thinking about, and hopefully I think it inspires some thinking even in the incumbent leaders now who have been appointed to start thinking, I think, through certain prisms about the challenges that we're facing. But always a pleasure, Google.
Thank you. Always a pleasure speaking to you. That's Sfiso Skenjana, economist and the managing director of ESG Analytics. As he's mentioned, there will be an open-ended opinion article in terms of his views on the GNU and what it is that we need to consider. Definitely needing a lot more technical skills, as he's highlighted, especially in particular clusters of government departments, making sure that we do make sure that all stakeholders play a bigger role in creating a conducive environment. Yes, government wants capital to come, but capital must play ball and deploy that capital, create jobs, and of course stay invested for an extended period to actually witness the growth and the outcomes that they want to see. Lots of themes that we're going to continue uncovering for you, but just a gentle reminder that in terms of finance, Enoch Godongwana staying as Minister of Finance there, Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams remaining as Minister of Small Business Development. Of course, Trade, Industry and Competition, seeing the entry there of Pakstau, who formerly was in charge of COCTA, before that was Mayor of Johannesburg a few years ago. And of course, other key industries that play a pertinent role being energy and electricity. Jose Nzora Makopa staying in that particular role. A role for many other sectors. Agriculture, John Steenhuisen. And of course, looking at other themes of employment and labor, that new minister is the MEF. So very important that we also find a heightened level of camaraderie between all these government departments, because unless they aligned, the objectives might not be met.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.